Alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillah, nahmaduhu wa nasta'inuhu wa nastaghfiruhu wa nu'minu bihi wa natawakkalu alayhi. Wa na'udhu billahi min shururi anfusina wa min sayyiati a'malina. Man yahdihillahu fala mudilla lahu wa man yudlilhu fala hadiya lahu. ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن سيدنا ومولانا محمدًا عبده ورسوله صلى الله تبارك وتعالى عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين أما بعد فقال سبحانه وتعالى إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد اللهم بارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد فقال سبحانه وتعالى إلا تنصروه فكن نصره الله إذ أخرجه الذين كفروا ثاني اثنين إذ هما في الغار إذ يقول لصاحبه لا تحزن إن الله معنا فأنزل الله سكينته عليه وأيده بجنود لم تروها وجعل كلمة الذين كفروا السفلى وكلمة الله العليا والله عزيز حكيم وعن أبي هريرة رضي الله تعالى عنه قال قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم ما نفعني مال أحد قط ما نفعني مال أبي بكر فبكى أبو بكر وقال هل أنا ومالي إلا لك يا رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم وقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم أما إنك يا أبا بكر أول من يدخل الجنة من أمتي أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام وقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم ما دعوت أحدا إلى الإسلام إلا كانت له أنه كبوة إلا أبا بكر وقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم لو وزن إيمان أبي بكر بإيمان أهل الأرض لرجأ بهم أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام Respected ulama, my respected elders, my brothers and my sisters and my little ones, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. After praising the Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and sending salutations on Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, I begin first of all by thanking you, the people of London, and especially Mulana Ismail, the founder of the Azhar Academy, for inviting me and giving me this opportunity to convey the message of Allah and His Messenger Muhammad Rasulullah salawatullahi wa salamu alayhi. And I pray to the Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that Allah accepts these efforts of yours in listening to this message and thereafter acting upon this message. As I pray to the Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accepts these efforts of mine tonight. The title allocated for today was Our Pious Predecessors, Their Sacrifices, and Their Devotion to Islam. And what a beautiful title it was indeed. However, as soon as I was allocated this title, I immediately felt that I would not be able to do justice to such a short time, to such a great title in such a short time. Why? Because our pious predecessors were not like people that were considered great in other religions, cultures, or societies, in which you just have a handful of people who stand tall, a cut above the rest, and whose biographies, whose sacrifices, and whose achievements can be summarized with ease without any difficulty. Our pious predecessors, the people that we belong to, their sacrifices, their commitments, their devotion to Islam, and their achievements, I should say outstanding achievements, whether in the Islamic sciences or the worldly sciences, were remarkable. And they number hundreds and thousands in each era, and thus are worthy that they be mentioned in tonight's lecture. Look at every Sahabi, every companion of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and you will find that this, that the sacrifice that he made, the human mind cannot comprehend. The likes of Abu Bakr, the likes of Umar, the likes of Uthman and Ali, Talha, Zubair, Abdullah ibn Mas'ud, Abdullah ibn Abbas, Abdullah ibn Umar, Sa'd ibn Waqqas, Abdurrahman ibn Auf. You name them one by one, and if you pick up works written on these individuals, you will not be able to comprehend the sacrifices that they made for Islam. Open the works written on the Tabi'een, those that succeeded the Sahaba, those that came after the Sahaba, and you will find that every Tabi'i is worthy of this, that he get a mention in tonight's lecture. Then came the Atba'u Tabi'een, those that came after the Tabi'een. Every one of them is worthy of mention. Look at the Fuqaha, the jurists of Islam, and the things that they contributed towards Islam. Everyone is worthy of mention. We have the great Imam Abu Hanifa, we have the great Imam Shafi'i, Imam Malik, Imam Muhammad, Imam Ahmad, Imam Zufar, Imam Abu Yusuf. Name them one by one. Who can forget the Muhaddithin, the masters of Hadith? Everyone worthy of mention. Again, Imam Bukhari, Imam Muslim, Imam Tirmizi, Imam Nasai, Abu Dawud, Ibn Majah, Darami, Bayhaqi, Malik, Ahmad, Abu Awana, Abdul Razzaq, Ibn Abi Shayba, the works of Suyuti, the works of Aini, the works of Ibn Hajar al-Asqalani, the works of Kastalani. Name them one by one, and you will find that the contribution that they made towards Islam was remarkable. Who at the same time can forget the Mufassireen, the commentators of the Quran, the Ibn Kathir, the Qurtubis, the Ibn al-Arabis? Who can forget the historians, the Mu'arrikheen? Who can forget the Mujahideen, Salahuddin al-Ayyubi, Muhammad bin Qasim, Tariq bin Ziyad? Never mind them. Recently, Hazrat Shaykh Rahmatullah alayh, Mawlana Ilyas Rahmatullah alayh, and the effort that they put, and the sacrifices they made for Islam and their devotion, again was remarkable. And every one of these people are worthy of mention in today's lecture. Now, who does one include in a lecture like this? And who, whose name, yeah, whose mention does one leave in a lecture like this? Thus, to make it easy for myself, I chose from amongst them the one whose devotion and sacrifices after Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam equal none other. The one whose sacrifices and devotion can be seen in the words of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. لَوْ وُزِنَ إِيمَانُ أَبِي بَكْرٍ بِإِيمَانِ أَهْلِ الْأَرْضِ لَرَجَحَ بِهِمْ. That if the iman and the belief of all the inhabitants of the dunya was placed in one pan of the balance, and just the iman of Abu Bakr and the belief of Abu Bakr was placed in the second pan of the balance, such was the iman of Abu Bakr that it would outweigh the iman of all the inhabitants of the dunya. The one who's just one good deed would outweigh all the good deeds of Umar Farooq radiallahu ta'ala an. Yet as Umar Farooq radiallahu ta'ala an was no ordinary person, Abu Ya'la Tabrani recorded a hadith of, on the authority of Ammar ibn Yasir radiallahu ta'ala an. He relates that Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to me one occasion, "O Ammar, Sayyidina Jibreel has just come to me. And I asked Jibreel, O Jibreel, hadithni bi fada'il Umar fi sama'." O Jibreel, relate to me the virtues of Umar in the heavens. And Sayyidina Jibreel alayhi salatu wa salam informed me, "Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, لو حدثتك بفضائل عمر منذ ما لبس نوح في قومه ألف سنة إلا خمسين عاما ما نفذت." That if I was to relate to you continuously the virtues of Umar for the same amount of period that Sayyidina Nuh alayhi salatu wasalam conveyed the message of Allah for 950 years, even then the virtues of Umar in the heavens would not come to an end. And remember, وَإِنَّ عُمَرْ لَحَسَنَةٌ مِّنْ حَسَنَاتِ أَبِي بَكَرْ. That Umar is only one good deed out of the good deeds of Sayyidina Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala an. I chose from amongst them the one who always came second after Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. I ask, was he not the second to believe in the Almighty Allah after Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam being the first. Was Sayyidina Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala an not the second out of the two at the time of migration? Was Sayyidina Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu yet again not the second of the two inside the cave of Thawr in Ghari Thawr? Wasn't Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu the second to believe in the Mi'raj, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam being the first? Wasn't Sayyidina Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu the second believer of the second leader of the Muslims, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam being the first? Wasn't Sayyidina Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu the second in the grave next to Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam yet again being the first? Was Sayyidina Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu not mentioned as the second in the Quran? إِلَّا تَنْصَرُوهُ فَكَنَّصَرَهُ اللَّهُ إِذْ أَخْرَجَهُ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا ثَانِيَ اثْنَيْنِ. Was he not the second in birth, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam being born on a Monday, Sayyidina Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu on a Tuesday, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam being born on the 12th of Rabiul Awwal, and Sayyidina Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu being born on the 13th of Rabiul Awwal? Just like Sayyidina Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu came second to Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam when it came to commitment, when it came to devotion, and when it came to sacrifice, it is the name of Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu that yet again comes directly after Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And when one picks up the works of ahadith, books of ahadith and works written on Sayyidina Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu, one strongly feels that just like Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was chosen by the Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Sayyidina Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu himself was chosen by the Almighty Allah. He was chosen for Islam, and he was chosen to make these sacrifices, and he was chosen to side with Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and to be with Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam at all times. And when one comes across traditions which clearly suggest this, though weak, it pleases one. Qadi Abu al-Hasan Ahmad ibn Muhammad al-Zabaydi relates a tradition in his work. On the authority of Sayyidina Abu Hurairah radiallahu ta'ala, he says, كإجتمع المهاجرون والأنصار عند رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم, that the muhajirin and the ansar gathered around Nabi Kareem صلى الله عليه وسلم, and Sayyidina Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu swore by the life of Rasulullah, يا رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم إني لم أسجد لسنم قط, O Messenger of Allah, never, not even in the days of ignorance, did I ever prostrate before an idol. فغضب عمر وقال تقول وعيشك يا رسول الله إني لم أسجد لسنم قط وقد كنا في الجاهلية كذا وكذا سنة. This angered Sayyidina Umar, and Sayyidina Umar remarked, Abu Bakr, you are saying this and you swear by the life of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that you have never prostrated before an idol, yet I saw you in the days of ignorance in such and such a year that you were making your way to such and such a temple. Sayyidina Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu explained, O Umar, it was not as the way you have understood. My father Abu Quhafa took me, he held me by the hand and he took me to one of their temples and he told me that this is your God, prostrate before it. My father left me there alone. I turned to the idol and I asked it for food, drink and clothes, and when it did not answer, I took a stone and I hit the idol. When my father returned and seen what I had done, angered by this, my father slapped me and took me immediately to my mother and related this incident, so my mother rebukes me. On the contrary, my mother held me in her arms and she said, O Abu Quhafa, do not say anything to this son of mine, as when he was born, I received glad tidings with regards to this child. A caller called out, which could not be seen, Ya Amatallah ala tahqiq, abshiri bil walad al atiq, ismuhu fi as-sama' as-siddiq, li Muhammadin sahibun wa rafiq. O the female servant of Allah, certain glad tidings are for you for this child, whose name in the heavens is Siddiq, and who will be a companion and a friend of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The second tradition, yet again though weak, many historians have related this, again on the authority of Sayyidina Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala an. He himself says that before Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam received prophethood, I made a trip to Yemen and I met a scholar there from us who had read the scriptures. When this scholar saw me, he remarked, أَحْسِبُكَ حَرَمِيًّا, it seems that you are from the people of Haram. Sayyidina Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu says that I replied in the affirmative, كَأَنَا مِنْ أَهْلِ الْحَرَمِ, that I am from the people of Haram. He then said, أَحْسِبُكَ قُرَشِيًّا, it seems that you are from the Qurayshis. Again Sayyidina Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu says that I replied in the affirmative. He then said, أَحْسِبُكَ تَيْمِيًا, it seems that you are from the clan of Taymi ibn Murra. Again, Sayyidina Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu said, I replied in the affirmative. He says, surprisingly thereafter, he said to me, بَقِيَدْ لِي فِيكَ وَاحِدَ, that one sign remains. I asked, مَا هِيَ, what is it? He said, تَكْشِفْ عَنْ بَطْنِكَ, show me your stomach. Sayyidina Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu says, I refuse, not till you tell me why. He says, he then said to me that I have read in the scriptures that a prophet will be sent in Haram and two people will side with this prophet and will help him at all times. One will be a young man, and as for the second, he will be of middle aged. And as for the middle aged one, he will be slender and he will have a whitish complexion. He will have a beauty spot on top of his stomach, on his stomach, and he will have a sign on his left thigh. I have seen all the signs which are hidden. Show me your stomach. Sayyidina Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu says, I showed him my stomach, and on seeing the beauty spot above my navel, he swore by the Lord of the Kaaba, Ki anta huwa wa rabbil Kaaba, ki I swear by the Lord of the Kaaba, you are the one that has been mentioned in our scriptures. Sayyidina Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu says that he gave me good advice. And after finishing my work, I left Yemen and made my way to Makkatul Mukarramah, and I waited for this last prophet to come. And as soon as he heard that this last prophet to come was none other than his friend of childhood, he is the one that is receiving the revelation, Muhammad ibn Abdullah salawatullahi wa salamu alayhi. There and then, without any hesitation whatsoever, Sayyidina Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu brings iman and declares the kalima la ilaha illallah Muhammad Rasulullah. Such iman it was that it was worthy of this, that on one occasion Sayyidina Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam descended from the heavens and said to Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam, ki ya Muhammad, inna Allah yakru alayka salam wa yukulu lak qul li atiq ibn abi kuhafata innahu radin an. O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, Allah is conveying his salam to you, and Allah is saying to you, tell the son of Abu Kuhafa that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is pleased with him. It was like Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, كما دعوت أحدا إلى الإسلام إلا كانت له عنه كبوة. Every person that I invited towards Islam, he would have some hesitation, or at least to the most some question with regards to me or with regards to Islam. Abu Bakr was the only person that when I invited him, he didn't have no question, he didn't have the slightest bit of hesitation, and he brought iman and he declared the kalima la ilaha illallah Muhammad Rasulullah. And it was because of this he was given the title Siddiq, the truthful one, the righteous one, because never did he doubt the words of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Never did he ever have the slightest bit of hesitation with regards to what Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam was saying, to such an extent that it has been narrated that Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam would just move his lips, and before Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam would say what he is intending to say, the words would flow from the lips of Abu Bakr, لَكَدْ صَدَكَ رَسُولُ sallallahu alayhi wasallam, that Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam has spoken the truth. To such an extent that when Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam went for Mi'raj, in part of a night, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam went from Makkatul Mukarramah, Masjid al-Haram, to Masjid al-Aqsa in Jerusalem, and from there to the heavens and above, and returned in just a part of a night. When he sallallahu alayhi wasallam related this to the kuffar, the non-believers, the polytheists, made such a racket with regards to this incident and what Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam had said to them, that the weak believers turned away from Islam and turned their backs on Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Now, the kuffar knew that he sallallahu alayhi wasallam gets all his support from Sayyidina Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu, and he is the one that backs Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam at all times. So they come and they want to relate this to Sayyidina Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu with 100% belief. That when they come to Abu Bakr, and when Abu Bakr hears this claim, Sayyidina Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu, just like the others, will leave Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and he will turn away from Islam, and he will turn back to the worship of the idols that his forefathers used to worship. And they come to Sayyidina Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu, and they relate this incident. Ya Abu Bakr, do you know what your friend is claiming? He claims that in part of a night, from Masjid al-Haram in Makkah, he went to Masjid al-Aqsa in Jerusalem, and he returned in part of a night. Sayyidina Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu replied, لَإِنْ قَالَ ذَلِكَ لَكَدْ صَدَقْ, that if my friend has said this, then my friend has spoken the truth. O Kuffaro, you have come to Abu Bakr today. By Allah, I swear by the Almighty Allah, I believe him in things far greater than this. I believe him in the revelation that descends every morning and every evening from the heavens in a matter of seconds. And you have come that you think that you will turn me away from Islam because he is making this claim. If he has said this, then he has spoken the truth. This is why he was called Siddiq. He embraces Islam without fearing the consequences, without fearing the calamities that were going to befall him, and all the problems that he was going to face. Not only does he embrace Islam, such was the level of Iman that there is no fear in his heart whatsoever. And he comes to Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and he says, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, O Messenger of Allah, we should preach openly. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam explains, Ya Abu Bakr, Inna Kaleel, O Abu Bakr, this is not the time. We are a minority in Makkah. There are very few Muslims. Let us become strong. And then we will convey the message of Allah openly. Sayyidina Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala keeps on insisting. Finally, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gives permission. There are only 39 Muslims on the face of the earth. And Sayyidina Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu inside the haram, in Masjid al-Haram, in front of the kuffar and the leaders of the kuffar, stands up and he delivers the sermon and he preaches openly. No sooner does he start preaching that the kuffar pounce upon him and they begin to beat him. They thump him, they punch him, they kick him, they trample on him, they walk all over him. And they have given him such a beating that the hadith states, from head to toe, Sayyidina Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu is covered in blood. And they have beaten him so much that he falls unconscious. And every person that was in the haram believed that Sayyidina Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu will not stay alive after this attack. To such an extent that his clan comes and they clamp and take him. And they announce in the haram that in retaliation, if Abu Bakr dies, that in retaliation, we will kill Utbah ibn Rabi'ah for taking the most active part in this attack. Sayyidina Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu is unconscious. And his clan and the people and his family members call out his name, but he doesn't come round. The whole day and most of the evening he stays unconscious. And when he finally comes round, the hadith states that the first words that he utter are, Ma fa'ala Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Go, my family or my clan, tell me, how is Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? His family and the member of his clan are disgusted. That all day he remained in the jaws of death. He was beaten savagely. All because of one man, Muhammad ibn Abdullah salawatullahi wa salamu alayhi. And he remained unconscious. And now the only person that he thinks about is none other than Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And they leave him. But yet, still the words that are flowing from his lips are, Kiwamma, tell me, Ma fa'ala Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. How is the Messenger of Allah? When his mother informs him, Gimali ilmun bi sahibi, that I do not know how your friend and your companion is. He tells his mother, go to Ummi Jameel, the sister of Umar, who had also embraced Islam. Go to her and ask her. Ummi Jameel had kept her faith a secret. Thus, when his mother came to her, she said, Ma'arifu Abu Bakr wala Muhammad ibn Abdullah. That I do not know who you are talking about. I do not know who Abu Bakr is. And I do not know who Muhammad ibn Abdullah is. However, she comes to see Sayyidina Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala an. And when she sees him in this pitiful condition, she's not able to keep her faith a secret. And she begins to scream and cry. But yet still the words that are flowing from the lips of Abu Bakr are, Ya Ummi Jameel, Ma fa'ala Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. You will have seen Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Tell me, how is the Messenger of Allah? When he is informed that Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is well, and he is in Darul Arqab, he is not content. And he takes an oath. Ya wallahi la azuku ta'aman wa la ashrabu sharaban hatta atiya Rasulullah. That by Allah, I will not eat and I will not drink till I see the blessed face of Rasulullah. Until I see with my own eyes that Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is safe and Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is well. Now his mother was desperate that Sayyidina Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala eat and drink. And she knew that he will not break this oath after he's taken it in the name of Allah. Though, because Sayyidina Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala was weak. And when the streets were clear, his mother himself takes him to Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And on only seeing the blessed face of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, was he consoled and was he content? And on seeing the blessed face of Rasulullah, he clings onto Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, weeping bitterly, making Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam cry. And all the Sahaba and the weak Muslims that were there at the time, they're all crying. And then he turns around and says, Ya Rasulullah, هذه أمي برة بولدها فادعوا الله لها وادعو الله لها أسأل الله أن يستنقذ بك من النار. يا رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم, this is my mother. She has always treated me well, and she has always taken good care of me. وَأَنْتَ مُبَارَكٌ, you are the blessed one. O Messenger of Allah, invite her to Islam, invite her to the beautiful deen, and pray to the Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it is possible that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala through you saves her from the fire of hell. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam raises his hands, and there and then his mother declares the kalima la ilaha illallah Muhammad Rasulullah. It was because of this courage that the likes of Sayyidina Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu would say, لَسَاعَةٌ مِّنْ أَبِي بَكْرٍ خَيْرٌ مِّنْ مِلْءِ الْأَرْضِ مِّنْ مُؤْمِنِ آلِ فِرْعَوْنَ, that just 1 hour of Abu Bakr was better than an earth full of believers like the believer at the time of Fir'aun. Today, we have over 1 billion Muslims. We have over 1 billion Muslims. And come September the 11th, and we began to lose our identity. All of a sudden, the strong boys were strong no more. Off came the beards, off came the amamas, off came the salwar kameez, off came everything. And yet this was also a believer. Not was there 1 billion Muslims at the time. There were 39 Muslims on the face of this of the earth when Sayyidina Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu declared his iman openly and preached and conveyed the message of Allah amongst the kuffar. Every single thing he sacrificed for Islam. He sacrificed his wealth for Islam. He sacrificed his property for Islam. He sacrificed his wife and children for Islam. There is not a single thing that he spared when it came to Islam. When it came to wealth, I'm sure you've heard of the famous hadith which Imam Abu Dawud has narrated in his Sunan. Imam Tirmizi has also related this. Imam Hakim has also related this and said, "Haza hadithun hasanun sahih." It is an authentic hadith on the authority of Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala an. Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu relates, "Ki'amarana Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam yawman an natasaddaq." That on one occasion, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, just like there is a gathering here today inside the masjid, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asked the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhu majma'een to donate in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This was at the time of the Battle of Tabuk. Now Tabuk from Madinat al-Munawwara is around 700 kilometers away, and the Muslims were to fight with the Kuffar, and Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam needed funds to prepare the Mujahideen and send them to fight the Kuffar in Tabuk. So he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asked for donations in the house of Allah. Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu says, وَوَافَكَ ذَلِكَ مَالًا عِنْدِي. I was so happy when Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made this announcement. Why? Because at the time, I possessed wealth. And a thought crossed my mind, كَأَلْيَوْمَ أَسْبِقُ أَبَا بَكْرٍ إِنْ سَبَقْتَهُ يَوْمًا. That if I'm ever to beat this person Abu Bakr in doing good, then today is my chance and today is the day that I will beat this person, because I have wealth and this person doesn't have wealth. Thus I will be able to donate more than him in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He says, I went home. I related this to my wife. And everything that we possessed, I distributed equally. I left half with my family. And I came fajitu bi nisfi mali, carrying half of my wealth on my shoulders. And when Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam saw me carrying my load, he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asked, Ya Umar, ma abkayta li ahlik? O Umar, what have you brought for me and what have you left for your family? Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu says, I said, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, O Messenger of Allah, abkaytu lahum, that I have left something for them. He sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asked, Umar, what have you left for them? He said, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, I distributed everything that I possess in two parts. I have left half for the family, and I have brought today half for Allah and His Messenger, Muhammad Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. فَجَاءَ أَبُو بَكْرٍ بِكُلِّ مَا عِنْدَهُ. Then comes Abu Bakr, and he is carrying his load on his shoulder. And there is a smile on the face of Umar that today, Umar will beat Sayyidina Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu in doing good and donating in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam sees Sayyidina Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu carrying his load, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam poses the same question. Ya Abu Bakr, ma abkayta li ahlik? O Abu Bakr, tell me what you have brought for me and what you have left for your family. Sayyidina Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu replies, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, abkaytu lahum Allah wa Rasula, that everything that these hands possessed, Ya Rasulullah, O Messenger of Allah, I have brought it for you. And with my family, I have left Allah and His Messenger Muhammad Rasulullah. Allah will take care of my family. Every single thing, this is just one incident, he possessed, he sacrificed for the sake of Islam. Sayyidina Urwa ibn Zubair relates, when Sayyidina Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu embraced Islam, وَلَهُ أَرْبَعُونَ عَلْفْ دِينَارِ, he possessed 40,000 dinar. One dinar is a gold coin so big. He possessed 40,000 dinars, 40,000 gold coins. And at the time of migration, he relates, he had only 5,000 dinars left. From the time of embracing Islam right up to migration, he has spent 35,000 dinars, not on himself, on Islam, on Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and wherever Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam required that wealth of it is. What happens to the other 5,000 dinar? Listen to his daughter Asma bint Abi Bakr relating the hadith. She relates, come the time of migration, our father lives with Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and the 5,000 dinars that he had left, he takes them with him with Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Our grandfather Abu Kuhafa comes. He is blind at the time. And he says, oh my daughter, I bet that he has disappeared himself and he has taken everything that he possesses. She says, I replied, Kalla ya abati, innahu kattaraka lana khayran kathira. O Abba, he has not done this. He has left as much. She says, my grandfather was blind. I took some stones and I placed them in the place where our father would normally keep these coins. I took a piece of cloth and I placed it over these stones. Then I took my grandfather by the hand and I placed his hands on top of that cloth. And I said, look how much he has left us. And then she swears in the name of Allah, Ki wallahi ma taraka lana shay'a, walakin aradtu an usakkina ash-shaykh. I swear by the Almighty Allah, our father did not leave anything for his children. He left nothing. All I wanted to do was console our grandfather that our father has left as much. When it came to Islam, this became his condition, that every penny he has donated, the hadith of Ibn Umar, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is sitting down. Sayyidina Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala is sitting besides Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he's wearing a cloak which he has tied together with a toothpick. Sayyidina Jibreel descends from the heavens and he conveys the salam of Allah to Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and then he asks, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Mali Aba Bakrin alayhi aba'atun kad khallaha ala sadrihi bi khilal. O Messenger of Allah, why is it that I see your friend Abu Bakr that he is wearing a cloak which he has tied together with a toothpick? Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam informs Sayyidina Jibreel, Ya Jibreel, anfaka maluhu alayhi qabl al-fat. O Jibreel, everything that this man possessed, he has spent on me and he has spent on Islam, and now he has nothing left. This is why you see him in this condition. Sayyidina Jibreel alayhi salatu wa sallam says to Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, convey the salam of Allah to this man and say to this man that your Lord is saying, Aradin anta fi fakrika hadha am sakhitun. O Abu Bakr, tell me, are you pleased with your Lord in this poverty, or are you displeased and not happy with your Lord? Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam turns around, faltafata an-nabiyyu ila Abi Bakr, turns around to Sayyidina Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala an, And he conveys the message of Allah and the salams of Allah to Sayyidina Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala an. And then he asks him, "O Abu Bakr, are you pleased with Allah in this poverty of yours, or are you displeased with Allah?" Tears begin to flow from Sayyidina Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu's eyes. And he replies, "Ki ya Rasulullah, ala rabbi aghdab, ana an rabbi radin, ana an rabbi radin, ana an rabbi radin." Go, Messenger of Allah, is Abu Bakr to become angry with his Lord? Abu Bakr can never become angry with his Lord. Abu Bakr is pleased with Allah. Abu Bakr is pleased with Allah. Abu Bakr is pleased with Allah in this poverty of his. When he came to Islam, and if any one of his family member became an objection and stood in the way to Islam, this is what became of them. It is narrated that on one occasion his father Abu Quhafa, whilst he was in the state of Kufr, he passes an unsuitable remark against Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Sayyidina Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu cannot tolerate this, and he slaps his father. When Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is informed with regards to this, and he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam calls Abu Bakr and he asks him with regards to this, this is his reply: "Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, O Messenger of Allah, at the time I did not have my sword with me. Had I my sword with me at the time, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then I would have killed my father for dishonoring you and passing this remark and this unsuitable remark." The hadith recorded by Musannaf ibn Abi Shayba, his son Abdurrahman ibn Abi Bakr reminds him of an incident, the time of Uhud. And his son says to him, "Ki wabba, in the battle of Uhud, ra'aytuka yawm Uhudin fasadaftu ank. I saw you in the battle of Uhud when you were standing amongst the believers. And if I wished, I could have so easily killed you. But when I saw you, remembering and thinking that you are my father, I would turn away." Sayyidina Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala replies, "O my son, this is your situation. This is my situation. Had I seen you on that day, لَوْ رَأَيْتُكَ يَوْمُ أُحَدٍ مَا صَدَفْتُ عَنْكَ, had I seen you on that day, then I wouldn't have turned away, and I wouldn't have thought that you are my son, and you are my flesh and blood. Because at that time you were in the state of kufr, and you were siding the kuffar, and you were becoming an obstacle for the deen of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, I would have severed your head from your body, and I would have killed you." It is a 6 year after migration, and the hypocrites have made, are spreading rumors, making false accusations and allegations against our mother Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha, al-afifa al-tahira, to put a stain on her piety and her purity. Now Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam loved our mother Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha in a manner which till today has never been witnessed and will never be witnessed. And because of this, and because of the love that our Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had for Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha, when he would hear these rumors and these allegations that were being made, he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam naturally felt hurt by this. And what made it more difficult was, no revelation with regards to this had been revealed. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not saying anything with regards to these allegations and these rumors that are being spread. And this is making it difficult for Hazrat Aisha and for Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Only our sisters can imagine the difficulty that our mother Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha was going through at the time. Because of these allegations and these rumors, our mother Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha, she was not receiving the attention and the love that she was accustomed to and that she would normally receive from Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, because he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was so sad. And at the same time, when a woman is always in a difficulty and she has problems at home, a daughter always turns to her mother and father's house. Our mother Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha takes leave, takes permission from Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and she makes her way to Hazrat Abu Bakr, to her parents' house. Now they lived in a house which consisted of two floors. Her mother was downstairs, Abu Bakr was upstairs, radiallahu ta'ala anhum ajma'in. When her mother saw her daughter come at a time that she would not normally not come, she was worried and asked, "Oh Aisha, is everything okay? Have you come? Is everything okay?" She related the incident. It was like a mountain has fallen upon her, her mother. But she was so strong and she remained so firm. To console her daughter and to give her strength, she said, "Oh Aisha, there is nothing to worry." When a daughter, when a woman is loved by her husband in the manner that you are loved by Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam, then people say all sorts of things to bring that woman down in the eyes of her husband. Our mothers, Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha, wasn't able to tolerate this. And out of sadness, she screamed and cried. When Hazrat Abu Bakr heard the scream of his daughter, he rushed down. And when he was informed of what has happened, tears began to flow from his eyes and he could not hold. But he said to his daughter, "You will go to your own house. Go back home. We will also follow." She returns home and later they follow. Our mother became so sick due to this sadness that she had a temperature and she lay down in the laps of her mother. After Asr came Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asked Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha with regards to what has been spread and these rumors that were and these accusations that were being made. Now we have Hazrat Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anha and Umm Ruman radiallahu ta'ala anha there. The mother and father of Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asks and she turns around to her mother and father, thinking that this is where she will receive her support. And she says, "Wabba, answer on my behalf. You know me. You're the ones that have brought me up. I have stayed with you for years. You know my piety and you know my purity. You speak on my behalf and you give answer to Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam." Who in the world, in a situation like this, when allegations like this have been made against their daughter, who in the world would not side with their daughter? And then Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha was no ordinary woman. She was no ordinary daughter. Her piety and purity was known throughout the Arab world. Never had a stain ever come upon her. And all of a sudden these allegations are being made. No parent in the world in a situation like this would not side with their daughter. They would side with their daughter and they would give her all the support in the world. But this mother and father was not like you and I. On one hand, they see their daughter. On the other hand, they are looking at the blessed face of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. On one hand, they can see the sadness and the difficulty and the grieving and the tears flowing from their daughter's eyes. And on the other hand, they could see what Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is going through. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to them was more dear than 1,000 Aishas put together. And they say, "Oh Aisha, what can we say? What can we say? We have nothing to say." This is the love that he possessed for Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was more dear to him than his own soul. Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu would relate, "Kila yawmun min Abi Bakrin khayru min Ali Umar, wa laylatu min Abi Bakrin khayru min Ali Umar." That he would relate that just one day of Abu Bakr was better than Umar and the family of Umar. And just one night of Umar, of Abu Bakr, was better than Umar and the family of Umar. And the night that he would constantly refer to, and I will tell you about the day afterwards, the night that he would constantly refer to is the night of Hijrah, when Sayyidina Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu migrated with Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He says, Sayyidina Abu Bakr left with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam at the time of migration. For a short while he would walk in front. Then all of a sudden he would rush behind and he would walk behind Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. On seeing this, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asked him, Malaka ya Abu Bakr? Tamshi sa'atan khalfi wa sa'atan bayna yadayya? Okay, Abu Bakr, what is the matter? For a short time you walk in front, then all of a sudden you rush behind and you walk behind. He explained, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, fa azkur al-talab. All of a sudden I remember that there will be people chasing you, so in order to protect your blessed self, I rush behind. Then all of a sudden I remember that some of the kuffar will have made their way ahead, and they will be hiding in front. I rush in front to protect yourself in case somebody comes and attacks you. They reach the cave. He says to Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, makanik ya Rasulullah, ya Messenger of Allah, wait here. He enters and he cleans the cave inside. And he closes all the holes that he could see. And then he asks Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to enter. And he tells Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to rest. And he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam rests by placing his head on the lap of Sayyidina Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala an. Now according to the hadith which Imam Bazzar has related, and also Imam Tabrani on the authority of Sayyidina Azad Asma radiallahu ta'ala anha, that he closed every hole except for one. And on seeing that one hole, and realizing it may be from this hole, something may come out and bite Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Whilst Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was resting in his wrap, he put the heel of his foot on that hole so nothing comes out. And it so happens that in that one hole that was left, that was the house and the place of a venomous snake. And as soon as he put his heel there, that snake bit him. Now just imagine how much pain Sayyidina Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu at the time must be going through. That snake has just bitten him. But the blessed head of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is resting on the thigh of Sayyidina Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu. This he could tolerate, that he died instantly. But he could not tolerate this, that because of that pain he moved, and that in turn disturbed Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and awakened Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Thus he remains there in pain. And it is only when a tear falls from his eyes on the blessed face of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, does he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam wake up. On inquiring and realizing what has happened, he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam puts his blessed saliva on that place, and that venom has no effect on Sayyidina Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala an. In another tradition it is mentioned that when the kuffar were near the cave, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam at the time was in prayer. Tears began to flow from his eyes. When Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam finished, Sayyidina Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala remarked, Ki ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, my parents be sacrificed upon you today. I am not crying because of myself or for the fear that I may be killed today. Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, I cry because it is so possible that you may be troubled in my presence. And Abu Bakr cannot tolerate this, that Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam be troubled in the presence of Sayyidina Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala. And it was because of this love that he had for the deen and Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that he was able. Five minutes. That he was able to stay strong and firm when great Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala an majma'een were not able to stay strong and firm. Yet if you open the books of Ahadith, we will realize that Sayyidina Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu was very gentle. He was very soft-hearted. When Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was in his last days, and the Sahaba came and said, Ya Rasulullah, it is time for Salah. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Maru Abu Bakr falyusalli bin nas. Tell Abu Bakr, he will lead the prayer. What did our mother say at the time? Our mother exclaimed, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, or Umar, tell Umar to lead the prayer. Inna Abu Bakr rajulun raqiq al-kalb. Abu Bakr is very gentle, soft-hearted. He cries so much in prayer. And due to his crying, people will not be able to hear the recitation. It would be better that you tell Umar. In another hadith, a year after Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam dies, he's giving a sermon. He mentions the word, last year I heard you Nabi say. He had just said these words that he could not control himself and tears are flowing from his eyes. He says, once he's calmed down, he says, last year I heard you Nabi say, and again he has lost control and tears are flowing from his eyes. We will find hundreds of ahadith which clearly suggests that Sayyidina Umar was very gentle and very soft-hearted. Now, bearing this in mind, how Sayyidina Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu was able to stay strong and firm, and because of his strength, the deen of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam was able to stay exactly as it was, it cannot be comprehended. And the difficulties that he encountered was such that our mother, with regards to them difficulties, narrates, يَتَوَفِّيَ رَسُولُ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهُ وَسَلَّمُ وَنَزَلَ بِعَبِيلَ وَنَزَلَ بِالْجِبَالِ الرَّاسِيَاتِ لَهَاضَهَا. That Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam died, and my father encountered such difficulties and such problems that had they fallen upon great mountains, then them mountains would have crumbled and turned to dust. Let me give you a few examples, and then inshallah I will conclude. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam's death. How do you think the Sahaba felt when Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam died? What do you think that they went through? When a member of our family dies, how do we feel? The closer the member, the more we feel. Some of us don't even know whether it's day or night. This is how sad we are. And it is only natural to be sad at the time of death and at the loss of one's close ones. How do you think the Sahaba felt when Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam died? Because this was not the death of an ordinary man. It was the death of the best of creation. It was the death of that person. Okay, they could not even tolerate separation from him, not even for a second. The one they loved more than themselves, their family, their children, everything. One comes and he says, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, inni laqitu al-adu wa laqitu abi fihim فَسَمِيْتُ لَكَ مِنْهُ مَقَالَةً قَبِيهًا فَلَمْ أَصْبِرْ حَتَّى تَعَنْدُهُ بِرْعُمْ. Ya Rasulullah, my father just came. He was with the enemy. He dishonored you. I couldn't tolerate this. I severed his head from his body. A second comes. She's carrying her child in sheets of cloth. It is at the time of jihad. And she comes to Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Ya Rasulullah, I know this son of mine, it cannot fight. I know it cannot make jihad. I know it cannot carry a sword. But Ya Rasulullah, take this son of mine and use him as a shield. Whenever the kuffar come from the right, hold my son in the way. And when they come from the left, hold my son in the way. A third comes and he stands before Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The kuffar attacking Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The words are flowing from this sahabi, La yusibuka sahmun nahri duna nahrik. And he is taking the arrows and he is taking the swords on his hands and his chest. A fourth comes, Ya Rasulullah, innaka la habbu alayka min nafsi wa innaka la habbu alayya min waladi wa inni la akunu fil bayti fa azkuruk fa ma asbir hatta adi fa anzur alayk. Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you are more dear to me than my soul. You are more dear to me than my family and children. When I am at home and I think of you, I become restless till I come and see you. I know one day you are going to die. I know one day I'm going to die. And I know, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when you die, such is your exalted status that you will be with the Anbiya. Ya Rasulullah, what will happen of this fakir? This fakir fears that when he enters Jannah, he will not be able to see you. Ya Rasulullah, just the thought of this separation distresses me. It was, as a witnessed, كي والله ما تنخم رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم نخامة إلا وقعت في كف رجل منهم فدلك بها وجه وجلة. When Isa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would spit, they would rush to receive his sputum, and then they would anoint their faces and their body with it. As he says, والله إن رأيت ملكا قط يعزم أصحابه ما يعزم أصحاب محمد محمدا. But never has he witnessed a people so devoted to their master as he witnessed the companions of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Now, bearing this in mind, I want you to tell me, how do you think that these people felt when Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam left this world? This is why when we pick up the books of Ahadith and the books on Sirah and Tariq, we find Hazrat Uthman Ghani radiallahu ta'ala anhu is motionless. There is no harakat whatsoever. There is no movement. He does not know what has happened. Hazrat Ali there and then falls unconscious. One of the Sahabi, when he finds out, he raises his hand, a Bedouin. Okay, Ya Rasulullah, Ya Allah, these eyes were so I could see your blessed Nabi, and these ears were so I could hear his blessed voice. When he remains no more, what do I want these eyes and ears for? His prayer is answered. There and then he becomes blind. Fatima is saying, Ya Abata, Ajaba Rabban Da'a, Ya Abata, Ila Jibrail Nana'a, Ya Abata, Min Jannatil Fardawsi Na'wa. The general Sahaba are saying, Wallahi wadidna anna mitna qabla. Only if Allah had not shown us this day, only if we had died before this. This was the general situation of the Muslims. Now look at the situation of Sayyidina Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala an. This is Abu Bakr. When this is happening all around him, and this event has torn the Sahaba, and they have lost their patience and their tolerance, he comes. It is the last day. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told him to lead the prayer. He has led the believers in prayer. And then he comes, and he takes permission from Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He takes leave for a short while. He makes his way to his home in Sunkh, and he fulfills the need of his family. And then as he is returning, he hears the news, كَإِنَّ رَسُولُ صَلَّى اللَّهِ وَسَلَّمْ قَدْ مَاتْ, that the messenger of Allah is no more. Saddened, tears begin to flow from his eyes, and the words that are flowing are, إِنَّ لِلَّهِ وَإِنَّ إِلَيْهِ رَاجِعُونَ, that we all belong to the Almighty Allah, and to the Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we will return. He makes haste. He hastens, only to realize that this news and this event has done damage, and it has tore the Sahaba apart to such an extent that the one that they considered the strongest from amongst them, the one from whom even the devil would run away, he is standing with a sword in his hand, and he is saying that the hypocrites claim that Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam has died. Wallahi ma mat, by Allah he has not died. Walakinahu dhahaba ila rabbih kama dhahaba Musa ibn Imran, but he has gone to meet his Lord, just like Sayyidina Musa alayhi salatu wasallam went. And the messenger of Allah will return, and he will cut the hands and the feet of those people that are making these claims. By Allah, if Umar hears anyone saying that Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam has died, Umar will sever their heads from their body. Umar will kill them. Now, if this was the situation of the strongest from amongst them, what do you think was the situation of the general Sahaba and those that had soft hearts and those that were considered weak from amongst the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhu ajma'in? Intellect, akal says that if in this situation the likes of Abu Bakr broke down, it would have been justified. Why? Because he was the one that was loved by Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam the most. When he sallallahu alaihi wasallam was asked, "Ayyu an-nasi ahabbu ilayk?" The words that flowed were that I love Abu Bakr the most. He loved Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam the most. He was the one that was with Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam in childhood. He was the one that was the first to believe in Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He was the one that embraced him and that accepted him when all others rejected him. He was the one whose house Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam would visit every morning, every evening. He was the one who Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam would consult. He was the one that stayed with Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam in every delicate moment. He was with him in Uhud, he was with him in Badr, he was with him in Khandaq. You name it, he was with Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam. If in a situation like this Sayyidina Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu broke down, it would be justified. But look at Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu. He comes, he takes permission from his daughter, Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha. He enters her house. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is lying in one corner, covered with cloth. He comes and he uncovers the cloth, and he kneels down and he begins to kiss the blessed face of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam with tears flowing from his eyes. And then he says, "Laysa ma yukulu ibn al-Khattab shay'a, tawaffiya Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam." What Ibn al-Khattab is saying is wrong. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has left the world. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has died. Rahmatullah alayka ya Rasulullah, ma atibuka hayy. Allah's blessings be upon you, O Messenger of Allah. Saying this, looking at the delicate situation and looking at the Sahaba and the Muslims, he leaves and he makes his way to the masjid and he delivers a sermon to strengthen the Muslims and to console them and to bring them back. And he tells the Sahaba, "O my companions, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam had informed you that he was going to leave this world. Allah had informed you that Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam was to die when Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam was alive. Whilst he was amongst you, Allah also told you that you are also to die. Did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala not say, 'Wama Muhammadun illa rasul qad khalat min qablihi ar-rusul afa'in mata aw qutilan qalabtum ala aqabikum wa man yanqalib ala aqibay falan yadurulla shay'a wa sayazi Allahu shakirin innaka mayitun wa innahum mayitun.' You are to die. They are to die. Kullu man alayya fan wa yabka wajhu rabbika dhul jalali wal ikram. Everything will come to an end. Only your Lord will remain. Kullu nafsin dha'ikatul maut. Every soul will taste death. Oh people, whoever worship the Almighty Allah, fa inna Allah hayyun la ya'lik. The Almighty Allah is alive. La yamut. The Almighty Allah does not die. Whoever took Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam as his Lord, then Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam remains no more. Fear the Almighty Allah and grab hold of your deen. It is only after this sermon do the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum ajma'een come around to the extent that the likes of Umar, when he, Abu Bakr, recited the verse of the Quran, وَمَا مُحَمَّدٌ إِلَّا رَسُولٌ unto him, Sayyidina Abu Bakr, Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu says, okay, it was like as if this verse of the Quran had not been revealed prior to this. I'm unable to finish, but I will conclude with one hadith which will sum up the sacrifices Sayyidina Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu made for Islam, and how beautiful does Sayyidina Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala anhu sum this up. In a few words, he sums it up. وَالَّذِي لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا هُوَ لو أن أبا بكر أستخلف ما عبد الله لو أن أبا بكر أستخلف ما عبد الله لو أن أبا بكر أستخلف ما عبد الله. He says, guys, swear by the Almighty Allah, there is no God worthy of worship. Had Abu Bakr not become the leader of the Muslims, then Allah would not have been worshipped. Then Allah would not have been worshipped. Then Allah would not have been worshipped. I'm unable to explain what this means. Another time, inshallah. But this sums up the sacrifices and the devotion and the love that Sayyidina Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu had for Allah, His Messenger Muhammad Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and of Islam. And I pray to the Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that Allah give us the tawfiq to act upon what has been said. Allah give us the tawfiq to love Islam. Allah give us the tawfiq to love Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, to love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to love our Salaf al-Saliheen, and follow the way of our Salaf, and follow on their naqshi qadam, on their footsteps, and just sacrifice and make commitment and devote our lives to Islam just like they did. وآخر دعوانا أن الحمد لله رب العالمين.